Item 19 is a resolution requesting the State Water Resources Control Board to grant funding for the Squaw Valley Public Service District Squaw Creek Aquifer Interaction Study Phase 2, Olympic Valley, Placer County. Is there a presentation by staff?
Hello again. My name is Chuck Curtis, and I'm the supervising engineer at the Water Board South Lake Tahoe office. Squaw Valley Public Service District has requested $257,000 from the cleanup and abatement account to fund Phase 2 of the Squaw Valley Creek Aquifer Interaction Study. The Lahontan Water Board helped fund Phase 1 of this project by funding a monitoring program and database system to collect data from groundwater pumping, from the water level elevation, from monitoring wells, and creek flow in the valley. Squaw Valley is located in Placer County between Truckee and Tahoe City. Squaw Creek drains the mountainous areas that rise abruptly to the west or to the left of this picture, and then that creek flows across the valley floor that's shown primarily in green here with meadows and golf course. The creek may receive water from the aquifer, only discharged to the aquifer along its length within the valley floor, depending on aquifer elevation. The degree that the aquifer is depleted each year is a function of the length of the time that surface water is discharging into the aquifer or into the basin, the amount of snowpack, and the amount of pumping that happens within the valley. Each year, this groundwater basin is filled completely full as a result of stormwater, surface water inputs to the basin and shallow groundwater inputs to the basin. So this is an aquifer that has never been more than one season in any kind of overdraft. It fills up each year, which is a very good thing. The Squaw Creek Aquifer Interaction Study addresses a question that's been on a lot of people's mind for quite a while. It's been documented that pumping in the valley affects creek flow. The Squaw Creek TMDL indicated that creek flow is directly related to stream aquatic life health, with low flows equating to poor stream health. So the amount of interaction between pumping, where the pumping occurs, the timing of that pumping, how much flow is coming into the valley from the mountains through Squaw Creek and its tributary, all are part of the equation on what this aquifer is, how it responds to pumping and surface water and shallow groundwater impacts. So to evaluate that, Phase 1 was conducted. Monitoring wells were installed, the data was collected on stream flows, on pumping, etc. That data is currently being put into a database that the Squaw Valley Public Service District maintains. They collect the information from their own wells, from monitoring wells, from the other water pumpers in the valley, which is primarily the Squaw Valley Mutual Water Company and the Missouri Squaw Creek and Squaw Valley Skin Corporation. There's some other small pumping in the valley as well. including it in the information that has been collected for phase one and ultimately phase two of this project, is information from three new test wells that the Swan Valley Real Estate Company installed last year, and pumping tests and LocalLogic aquifer data that was collected as a result of that study. This is an oblique view looking up the valley, Swan Valley, and Swan Valley Real Estate Company is proposing development of currently of about 100 acres that is currently paved asphalt. If you look at the upper portion of the screen, you'll see a gray area there that's a very large asphalt paved parking lot in the Swan Valley Resort area. So they plan to put in hotels, condominiums, and other facilities in that area, and all of that will need water. Here's a closer view of that area. Swan Creek can be seen on the right side generally, going along, bordering the parking lot. And currently that creek is, in that area, is in a trapezoidal channel that was built as part of the 1960 Olympics. Groundwater is the only source of domestic municipal water in the valley. I had made a recommendation to the Placer County Board of Supervisors last summer when they were contemplating this project initially, that that they evaluate the effects of groundwater pumping on Squaw Creek's flow because of that interaction between flow and stream health. I had also recommended later to the Squaw Valley Real Estate that they pay for the phase two creek aquifer interaction study, because that information is relevant for their environmental impact report that that the Placer County is doing. And since that information has been collected, it's available as part of the EIR, that information should be assessed to see how that relates to the potential impacts and mitigating the potential impact associated with Swan Valley Real Estate's project. My understanding since that time is that Swan Valley Real Estate has fronted the funds for Swan Valley Public Service District to conduct phase two of the aquifer interaction study. Excuse me, some of that great energy is stuck. The Public Service District is now asking for the Water Board to approve a resolution asking the State Water Resources Control Board to provide the funding, the $257,000 plus, essentially to reimburse the Swan Valley Real Estate for the funds that they have funded for this study. This creek aquifer interaction study is a project very worthwhile receiving grant funding from the State Water Board or from this board, as this board has previously approved funds that Rogers Stewart and the acre. That's true absent other mitigating circumstances, and principally that's that much of the information that is in this study is being used for the water supply assessment for this development project, and that work is work with the Public Service District. I believe has the right to request funding from the real estate developer to fund that work. And the work that's needed for the EIR related to this, I believe, is also work that the developer should be paying for. Now, I know that there may be parts of this study that may not fit in with either the EIR or the water supply assessment, but I'm not quite clear exactly what parts of those are based on my knowledge right now. Mike Geary, who is the general manager of the Public Service District, is here tonight, and he may be able to shed some light on that. I'm sure that he will provide some input. Another consideration for the board is that the cleanup and abatement account is used for many activities, principally cleanup and abatement of pollution. This water board has received funds from the state water board for replacement water for contaminated drinking water wells, for investigation related to drinking water well contamination, for the PG&E Hinckley background chromium study evaluation, basin plan renewal in Lake Tahoe, and other worthwhile projects. So it's, you know, within that whole range of actions that the cleanup and abatement account can be used for, and what this board has used it for in the past, that the water board can want to consider this. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer if I can.
Are there any questions from the board members about your board?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I was clear on your last point. I thought what you were saying, correct me if I'm wrong, that this project is different from the other kinds of projects for which the cleanup and abatement account has been used. Is that correct?
Well, it's somewhat different in that it's a study. It does have a water quality tie-in, and that's why, if it didn't have that, if I didn't feel that, if I felt that there was no way that this fits within those projects that under the Administrative Procedures Manual of the State Water Board for what the cleanup and abatement account may be used for, I would have brought this before you. I would have, told the district that, unfortunately, these funds are not available for your project. It does fit. What's different is that it's a study as opposed to a cleanup, although we have funded studies in the past, in particular when there's a pollution of groundwater, such as in the Top Nose case and the Barstow perchlorate case. So we have funded studies in the past, so all I'm saying is that primarily the cleanup and abatement account has been used for cleanup and abatement of pollution. This is not that kind of project.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have a question. If this proposal were before us and it were for the project as envisioned, but for work that had not yet been done and paid for, would you recommend its approval?
If I saw nothing on the horizon where its funding was likely from other sources, yes, I would recommend its approval. And as I laid out in the green sheet for this item, the board has some options here. The board may decide to fund the entire amount requested. I have tried to identify those things, to best my knowledge, that were part of the water supply assessment. put a dollar figure in there for that. But that's an option that, that the board may choose to fund just that part that's not included in the water supply system. And of course, the board has a priority not to approve. As I said earlier, if there wasn't the situation of the developer needing this information and wanting it now, yes, I would recommend approval.
I had a second question, which you may not know the answer to, but I'll ask it if somebody else does. Why is it that some agencies refuse to reimburse for work that's already been done, even though they might have approved it had they been the funding source to begin with?
I'm not sure. I know that we have done that in the past on some projects. Not to specifically the cleanup and abatement account funds, but other grant funds that this regional board had control of, that we have done reimbursement on a project that it started before, our board meeting, there was a timing issue, and so the board did approve the funds. And those reimbursed for expenses.
You said the board. Do you mean the state board or the?
The regional board.
Okay.
Funds that the regional board controlled.
Oh, okay.
There were funds coming from a settlement that was held by the Attorney General's office. For the Oahu Regional Board.
Okay.
They have used those funds in a project that reimbursed work that had been done.
But in this situation, the funding is from the state board and not from regional board?
That's correct. Funding.
Okay.
Yeah, it's from the cleanup and abatement counties. So that's a fund held by the State Water Resources Control Board for generally cleanup and abatement.
Can we go back to the slide that breaks out what's being done in phase two, phase one, and phase two?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so which components of phase two are not related to the water supply assessment and EIR?
Well,
so that's approximately 170,000, or slightly less than 170,000 of this amount. Going
through
things that are not related to the water supply assessment
in the
EIR.
The way I looked at the proposal from the Public Service District, they had identified, and part of your package, there's some in the tasks, the different tasks, those are identified. And as part of certain of those, they are identified as critical cleanup items for the water supply assessment. It is those items that I identified as totaling up to $88,000, and so the balance of that is the other figure that I said that's an option. But your question explicitly said which ones are not part
so
of the EIR, which is definitely
WSA and EIR, I said. So what do we get for this $170,000?
Well, you get everything being done, or it's almost all complete right now.
Okay. That's
so when I put this together, this was before I had additional information on where we are now with this project. And right now, most tasks have been completed and paid for by the real estate development company.
Okay.
All of the information, in particular, the information that is explicitly in the tasks there in the Public Service District's request. Those are, that's what the study is. There may well be other tasks that the Public Service District has done as part of this water supply assessment, but it's not in that at all. And those are other tasks and being funded, I assume, by the real estate development company.
Okay. So if this board approves this use of the Cleanup and Abatement Fund, is that the final decision or not?
No, it's not. This is a request to the State Water Board to fund the project. The State Water Board would have to take this up and determine, first their staff would evaluate the request against, the projects that they have in the pipeline currently, against the types of projects that they would fund, and make a recommendation to the State Water Board. And then the State Water Board would make a decision on whether to grant this water board's request for response or not.
And I realize this is a speculative question, but based on what you've observed about the State Board approval of use of the Cleanup and Abatement Funds, what chance do you think this proposal has in front of the State Board?
Probably not the best chance.
Anything else from any board member? I have no questions at this time. Open to public comments. I have a speaker card from Mike Deary.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for the opportunity to present to you guys today. The district is requesting the full $257,000 from the Cleanup and Abatement Account Fund for several reasons. I started as the general manager at the PSB about 2 years ago. When I was hired, KSL, the real estate developer Chuck mentioned, had purchased the property, I think, 5 months prior to that. And at the time, we were aware that they were going to do a project, but not sure of the scope of it and what would be needed to get it approved. The highest priority that was given to me upon taking that job was to complete phase two of this creek aquifer action study. And so I took that seriously. And we developed a funding strategy to get that done. The first one, and I'll talk about that in a second. The reasons it was placed as such a high priority is because it was identified in the district's Olympic Valley groundwater management plan that the district prepared on behalf of all the pumpers in the aquifer. It's identified as element 2.2 to get a better understanding of the hydrologic relationship between the creek and the aquifer. Furthermore, it had been directed, this board here had been directed by the State Water Resources Control Board to support this project under Resolution 2007-008. It was also a sensitive issue for the members of the community in Olympic Valley to have a better understanding and to make sure that best practices were employed in our supply of domestic water to our customers to have the minimal impact on Squaw Creek. That's something we took seriously, and that's the reason why we pursued phase one of the project. As part of the groundwater management plan, we meet annually as an advisory group and then as an implementation group. During one of the advisory groups, the first one I attended, we were encouraged to apply for these funds by the Lahontan staff to get it completed. Furthermore, we at the district are sensitive to the condition of the creek and its function. We take that seriously. And we don't want, with any of our operations, to negatively impact that. So we're interested in getting better understanding as well. So we developed a funding strategy to get that done. Lahontan staff had told us that these cleanup and abatement accounts were available, funds were available, and we were encouraged to apply for those funds to complete this project. And we thought about that and incorporated that into our funding strategy. But it was our third option, because at the time we were told that those funds were restricted to Olympic Valley. We were also told that they could only be used by public agencies. So we perceived that to be the easiest funds to get. And so we thought we would preserve them for some future project, and thought that we could be competitive in a couple of Department of Water Resources grants. The first being the Local Groundwater Assistance Program. And we applied for a grant from that agency, through that program last year. Department of Water Resources delayed the award of that funding by 8 months. That, in conjunction with Squaw Valley Real Estate accelerating the project to meet its needs to have the information available for the EIR and for the water supply assessment as well, precluded us from being able to get those funds. Our second option was to apply, along with our Integrated Regional Water Management Group, for Proposition 84 funds from the Department of Water Resources. And due to the acceleration of the project, it precluded us our ability to get awarded those funds as well. And so this is our third option, and we pursued it under the context of the, as I said, the acceleration of the project. And we considered not doing that, and we had some deep thinking on that as to why we would not do that. We had the strategy in place, and to not pursue that because there was an opportunity now to put the funding responsibility on the developer, you know, one of our customers who has the desire to develop the west end of the valley, just seemed a little bit appropriate and opportunistic, and that's why you have that request for funding today.
Are there any questions from board members? Mr. Dias? Mr. Sandell?
No.
Dr. Horn?
So, is there anything that the developer is not willing to pay for in the Phase 2 project?
I believe that, I think they'll pay for it if this funding isn't available.
And, is there any suggestion that if the developer pays for it, the information is changed in some way, or is it the same?
No. I mean, the scope of this work and the scope of the study was established well before the developer even bought the property. Mm-hmm. And so that's why the full amount is being requested, and we haven't dissected the scope to determine, you know, what they need and what they don't need, because the scope existed prior to their needs at all.
I mean, I appreciate that you put in a lot of work in developing this strategy, but I guess since you developed your strategy, situation has changed, and I'm just kind of wondering. I haven't heard a really strong case for adhering to your original strategy.
Adhere to it?
Yeah.
It just seemed unethical to us to drop our funding strategy and drop our opportunity to get the project funded because one of our customers wanted to develop their property. And I'm not really comfortable doing their bidding for their funding, quite frankly. But the fact is that it was a top priority for the district. We had a strategy in place, and it just seemed the ethical thing to do to move forward and see if we can procure that funding.
I have one question, and it may really be a question for staff. But as I heard your presentation, I had the impression that you were saying that this board is in some way, either morally or by action of the state board, bound to support this project. Is that the case? Morally, probably a. that may be asking for more than you want to offer. So let me ask whether or not the resolution of the State Board, which was alluded to, compels us to approve and support this.
I don't believe it does, Chairman Humphrey. The resolution of the State Board is the resolution that approved the Squaw Creek Settlement TMDL. As part of that TMDL, as I said earlier, flow was identified as another stressor for aquatic life in Squaw Creek in addition to sediment. The State Board recommended or directed the Regional Board to, I think it may be, the language may be in the packet there, but basically to facilitate study on this issue about pumping and the effect on the creek. It in no way required the board to do that. The State Board did not, I don't know that the State Board can require this board to do anything because you're a semi-autonomous board. The way I take it, I believe the way it is, the State Water Board encouraged this Water Board facilitate a study of Aquifer Creek pumping interaction.
I mean, the language is right here in the green sheet.
Okay.
This is what you're referring to. It says the State Water Board, in its approval of the TMDL, directed the Wisconsin Water Board to, quote, support the efforts of entities pumping groundwater, blah, 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 to minimize effects on the creek development, a groundwater management plan, and conduct a study. So the direction is to support the efforts of entities.
And this board accounts in partially funding phase one of this project. We have worked with the entities in discussing the scope of the study. I'm this water board's staff representative on the Olympic Valley Groundwater Management Plan Advisory Group, and it's through those meetings that Mike referred to a number of years ago that the study plan was developed, and so this board in a variety of ways has supported the pumpers' efforts to evaluate groundwater pumping's effect on creek.
And so that I can make my own moral judgment, assuming you can draw a distinction between encouraging someone to do something and assuring that you will make it possible for them to do that, could you tell me something of the encouragement that the staff gave to this particular proposal?
Well, I can put forward what I believe that I brought forward to that advisory group that Mike had referred to, and if he heard something different, he can speak to that as well.
Certainly.
Identified that funds from a suit with Squaw Valley Ski Corp could be available for use on this project. That was my understanding at the time. I later found out that those funds were put into the cleanup and abatement account generally, not specifically for use in the Truckee River watershed or in the Squaw Creek watershed. And I once I investigated further in that, I let the district I know that if that was the case, that these funds weren't being held for use just in the Squaw Valley watershed. And it provided the information on the cleanup and abatement account, how those funds are dispersed, the process, that this water board would have to request those funds from the state board, and then it's the discretion of the state board.
So, if real estate development did not, let's say, fund issue, and this had been an application to us for funding, just a clean application, we would recommend it.
I wouldn't recommend you fund it, because the information that we in the bigger sense, including the district, other pumpers, those people in Squaw Valley who are concerned about creek flow and effective pumping, that information is being developed, analyzed, and reported on right now. So we are going to get products that I believe will be a very large benefit to the Squaw Creek, to managing groundwater in the Olympic Valley groundwater basin. It will allow the district, who is the major pumper water supplier in the basin, to have those scientific tools that it previously did not have, that information and those tools, to do pumping, put wells where they can get the best water and have the least effect on Squaw Creek. And so the study, I'm very much in favor of the study.
So it seems to me that this board has, I think we have perhaps two choices, and I may disagree. But it seems to me that that the funding ought to be complete. But it seems to me that we have two choices. Either we fund the balance that's yet unpaid but needed, or we fund the entire project, which would result in reimbursing the real estate interest. So that seems to me to be the decision to make.
Just to mention, I think there's a third option too.
Oh, I'm sure that
the portion of it, which is the reach.
Or not funding it.
Are there any other?
Yes.
Well, I'm ready to go to comments. I don't know if you're there.
I'm not.
I just had a follow-up question for Mr. Gary. You had mentioned that there was acceleration of the real estate project resulted in several grant options being unavailable. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes. The local groundwater systems program, that was the first one. They were supposed to award grant funds. They're supposed to notify us in December and go into contract for those grant funds in January. That's when the project started. Had that been on schedule, it would have been funded by Department of Water Resources Proposition 84 funds.
For the full amount?
It would have been a 90-10 split.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The second option would have been the IRWM grant request. That has been in the works for several years. That's a very complex and long process to have the group's plan put together. And the next opportunity we had to get funding for that would have been December of this year, when we would have been notified if we were successful in December.
So these,
but both of those grants are administered by the Department of Water Resources, and both prohibit funding projects in arrears, work that has already been completed.
Okay.
And before we go to comments, I just wanted to ask Mr. Gary if you had any additional comments you wanted to make in light of the question I asked of the staff.
No.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Board comments, Dr. Horn.
I guess I'm in a very pragmatic mood this evening. It seems to me that this is a very different kind of study than the other studies that Mr. Curtis mentioned, where this is, the other studies that you mentioned were studies that were going to help us clean up a case of pollution, or what was it, you mentioned the perchlorate, what was the other one you mentioned?
Well, they're either to clean up investigative source of pollution to drinking water, or to supply replacement water for affected residents.
Right. Okay. And this is a study that's going to improve management of groundwater basins.
That's
so
correct.
It's really, I think, pretty far removed from the purposes of the cleanup and abatement account, normal uses of that money. And for that reason, I mean, I think it's pretty unlikely that the State Water Board is going to approve this. Given that, I'm not sure I feel comfortable forwarding this to them. I think the fact that another foreign funder has come forward that's willing to pay for the entirety of the report and that it doesn't in any way impair the study, I'm not quite sure what we gain by using public monies for this to replace money that someone else is willing to spend. I guess that was my comment. So I guess I'm just not convinced that this is a good use of the cleanup and abatement account.
Mr. Jardine?
I have to agree with Dr. Horn. When you talk about accelerated development, when talking about I agree. I'll keep it simple.
Sorry.
I couldn't have said it better.
Mr. Dias.
Well, perhaps I missed it, but I didn't hear a specific recommendation from staff to me.
There wasn't one.
Okay. Nothing.
There, if I understand it correctly, the staff report gave us at least, indicated there were at least three options, none of which was being recommended above any of the others.
Well, quite frankly, I can see no harm in our approving the resolution.
Mr. Sandell?
I agree with your overall assessment, Keith. And as much as the State Board seems to have directed us in that direction, and perhaps it would predispose them to approving the use of the funds for this.
Any other comments from board members before I quickly? I find this confusing and troubling. I'm not sure in which order. But I'm going to assume that the developer chose to act when it acted and how it acted because they directly benefit from the act, or they perceive that they will directly benefit from the action that they have taken. And so I don't think that puts them in the same position as any other potential user from the district. That's one thought. The second thought I have is the cleanup and abatement fund strikes me as a, if not last resort, pretty close to it, that it's money that's set aside because there is no other money to do the thing that the money is going to be expended on. So there really is no other money to provide replacement water in certain circumstances, or there is no other recourse but this fund to do cleanup of water that's been polluted or otherwise compromised. I don't think on its face there is another resort, literally, no pun intended, here, other than this fund. And so I just don't see that this squarely fits inside the fund, and I'm not sure what the state board would have done had someone said to them, oh, by the way, this developer will actually want to do this and have it done in order that they could advance their proposed project. Somewhere in my mind, I have the inkling that perhaps they would have looked at this slightly differently.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
I have to say, I just went to a public hearing yesterday where a private developer was looking for the water supply and all that, so... And are you ready for a motion?
Certainly.
I move to deny the request.
I second.
Is there any further comment from members of the board? And I'll start with Mr. Dias.
I have no further comment.
Mr. Sandhill?
No.
Dr. Horn?
No.
Mr. Jardine?
No.
None for myself. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No. No.
The motion passes, 3 affirmative, 2 negative. Our next item is item 20, and I think that before we start item 20, perhaps we can take a short break, because it's the last lengthy matter that we have